want to welcome you as well as to consider being a part of what God is doing right here in the sanctuary of Westchester Baptist Church. Don't forget that we have lots of things happening in RABC. You can get involved in number one. This Saturday, we have a big Bible school workshop. It's going to be a 10 or 14 church. Come and be a part of that. If you're interested in that, you need to be there and be a part of that. Start the ball rolling. If you've never been in the CBS before, you want to teach, you want to be a part of it, you need to be there. That's how we do our background checks. You have to do student background checks through that way. And so we need to get signed up and get involved in that. So be at that meeting. 10 only lasts about an hour. It's an hour and 20 minutes. We'll be home around 11:30. But there's some refreshments there as well. And so come and be a part of that. Take us to Bible School Workshop Saturday at 10 a.m. in the school. Also, church, we'll remind you that we are having an upcoming yard sale at the end of the month. So those slots are going fast. So it seems like every week we have more and more people coming to the yard slots left. So now you're telling the truth. I don't know. You have to get in contact with the professor. But it seems like those slots are going fast. So if you are interested in that, get the space to sell or be a part of, and it's $20 to get that slot. I think you're running one table this year. And what we do, though, do it quickly. Remember that $20 goes to help our Operation Sister Child shipping fund. So sending out the shoeboxes is more and more expensive than you do. So pray for you to be a part of that. Or donating to that and say, well, Pastor, can I donate the things to sell? Yes, you can. Just the things that we will not take, though. We will not take old television. You say, well, what about flat things? We take that. But we won't take the old box. We can't sell it. We won't take it anymore. We can't sell it. We won't take these yards. We won't take VHS tapes or cassette tapes or anything of that nature. We will take DVDs. Also, some other things we won't take is large furniture items. If you want to say, hey, Pastor, I got this bed, you can bring it and sell it. You've got to take it back with you. You've got to sell it. If you donate it to the church, you have to be willing to come back and take it back for that reason, because we just can't hold it in each store. And then we have a hard time getting it out for the church once we all sell it over and find the people to help us take it to other places. All right, so there's some things to keep in mind, the common principle about that, if you will. Be reasonable about that. So if you don't want it, there's a good chance no one at the yard sale will want to see it. Right? Well, amen. And the Baptist Church, all right? So those are a couple things that are happening. Also, church, if you missed out on our upcoming Michigan Mission Trip information meeting that we're going to do on Saturday, you missed out on our treasure trove of information. We got to meet some of our church members over the Zoom meeting. There will be another one coming up. We haven't set the date yet. There will be another one coming up. And so the wheels are in motion. Several people are already going. So please press the consider being part of this. Press the consider donating in that. So said, how can I donate in that? We had a week or two that would like to go. Not come up with the airfare. We decided to fly. Most of us have decided to fly. And so if you are willing to be a part of that, please press the consider donating for their due to be able to go. Yeah. So the airfare is running around $300 to $350. The return ticket, and the longer you wait, the more expensive it gets every time you do that. All right, so I think that's about it for us coming down to just something that I've forgotten. Other than that, oh, yes, thank you very much, Dave. UBAC will be at the end of this month as well. That'll be the 21st of April. We have a United Baptist Association of Texas annual meeting right here in the evening. So we'll actually have a meal at 4:30. Come and be a part of it. You are invited. We'll have business courses, which goes pretty quick, around 5:30. Incidentally, we are looking for Tony, trustee, or through messenger, so we can do that. So we have one right there. And so if you want to come and be a part of that, the only thing, the only item we'll be voting on, because of the schedule we have, just the budget for this year, United Baptist Association of Texas, the only item of business we'll be voting on. If you want to be a part of that, you can register to be a messenger for that. So please let me know, and we'll get that done for you. We'll be done by this Sunday, if you're interested. Also, last but not least, there will be a fifth Sunday theme coming up in June. The last Sunday of June, so it's going to be a part of that as well. So we will have a dinner on the ground. We will have the theme follow afterwards. And usually, that's when we have a wonderful time. We end up going out for the weekend over our 7 o'clock time frame. Just a lot of people, a lot of fun. So we're going to write all this stuff to begin to be involved in that as well. This year, we've already made contact with folks at the church up show with Syracuse, with Eastside, with the other churches in up show. And we've built relationships with over the last year that I'm meeting with regularly now. And so, perhaps you consider being a part of that singing with us, at least coming to sing in the pews if you don't want to sing in the pews. All right, so if you have your Bible, here's the church to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. So the title translation is All Things Work for Good. I know you've heard that over and over and over again. You ever heard that before? Hey, every dark cloud has a silver lining. You know? And that's typically true. It's typically true. But so let me think, let me put it like this. If we were to look at every situation that way, then even when the Titanic sank, then the lobsters on board must have been praising God when they got the salt water coming in, amen. So they were like, hey, God, it's no prayer. So here's the deal, though. All things work for good. And so we need to, one, understand some of the things we're going through in our lives are for our good, for our growth. Some of them are our own creation, and we call it the Lord. All right, Romans 8, verse 28, where we're going to start out then. Love to hear those pages turn, or perhaps you turn them on, your phone, or your iPad, your phone as well. Read with me verse 28, the Bible says, and we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. All things do work together for good. And that's a general statement. We can also have all things work together for good. What may be a thunderstorm that you hate is a really wonderful storm that you feel are messengers. All things do work for good. Notice the Bible says, though, to those who love God. And so you might be one of those, perhaps you're online tonight, and you're just flipping through and finding the churches. All you'd like to do is debate with those preachers. All you'd like to do is say, I can't find a church that makes me happy. I can't find one that makes me feel the way I'm supposed to feel. And you are a negative Nancy. You are a negative Nancy. That's the first thing you should ever be happy about nothing. Negative Nancy. Well, I want you to know something. The Bible says that all things work for good to those who love God. So I'm going to ask you that question this evening. Do you love God? Do you love God? Some of us will say, yes, Pastor, I love God with all my heart. I love God with all my soul. I love God with all my mind, yet that's where we usually have our problems in our spiritual life. How do you really love God? In fact, how do you tell God you love Him? You think it's just in your prayer time? You think it's just in a song you sing? Prayer time is communion. Worship time, adoration. How do you really tell God you love Him? It's by being obedient to His commands. In fact, Jesus tells us, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if you want Him to start working good for you, first thing you need to start doing is loving God. Loving God. How do you show God you love Him? By being obedient to His command. So, however, the Bible's not finished there. To those who are called according to His purpose, saying you can love God, you can love Him and be sinful. Did you know that? If you don't know that, then you're obviously not where you need to be spiritual, because every one of us has sinned. Somebody say amen. Every one of us has a spiritual problem, and every one of us has a weakness somewhere in our spiritual walk. We can love God, and we can be sinful. However, my Bible says that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. You want to see things start working for good in your life, then what you need to do is start loving God, and that means you've got to start getting in His will. Those who are called according to His purpose. How do you get called by God? You've got to be in a relationship with God. A lot of us think, well, this guy was born lucky, or that girl was born lucky, and they got a calling from God. God just chose that person. Well, I think it happens. Yeah, I do think it happens on occasion. But I really think God calls people who love Him with all their heart, and they become obedient, and they become faithful in the little things, and God starts putting them in charge of me. That's how I see that biblically. They do it because they love God. And they are in His will. They get called according to His purpose. Now, we can spend all night talking a little bit about that. But I want to share with you some examples about people who are called according to God's purpose. Now, sometimes, though, they had a hard time seeing how things work together for good. For instance, you ever had something bad happen? And then you thought, man, this can't be good, but later on, it turned out to be really good. I'm glad that happened because this never would have happened if that didn't happen to me. That's pretty hypothetical what I just said. There's a whole lot of this and that to me. Here's my point, though. Look at here in Genesis 37. Let's read 23 to 28 and we take a look at somebody right here. So it came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers. And remember, Joseph, obviously loved by God, obviously loved God, loves his family. Comes to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers. They stripped him, they stripped Joseph from his tunic. Remember his beautiful coat. The tunic of many colors that was on him. Then they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty. There was no water. They sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Israelites. Now I'm stopping right there, and I want to ask you a question. Do you think Joseph is feeling like all things are working for good right now? In fact, he's probably doing what we would do down in that pit. Judah, Simeon, Gad, Naphtali, let me out. Please let me out. He might even try this. I'm going to tell Dad. I'm going to tell Mom 1, Mom 2, Mom 3. I'm going to tell them all. I'm going to tell them all. And he might be feeling that way. And you might be feeling that way right now. And I am talking to you because I pray for you every day. And some of you are feeling right now. You just feel it. Some of you are feeling like, man, never could get any worse. And perhaps you're online feeling that way. It just can't get any worse. Brother Joshua, I want you to know something. God works for good in all things to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. Joseph didn't see that either. Joseph was down in the pit right now. His brothers threw him down there, and not just that, but they took his coat off. No, this is exactly what I'm talking about. Took his coat off. The Bible doesn't really tell us why they took his coat off. But we can take an educated guess. That educated guess tells me the same reason why in the prison or in the law enforcement environment, when a cop or a prison guard is taking hostage, the first thing they do is remove authority. When a cop gets taken off his foot in the room, it takes his the cop is a symbol of authority. And Joseph's coat of many colors, his beautiful coat, was a symbol of grace, of favor from his father. A symbol that said, man, Dad loves you. And they took it from him. They threw it down into a pit. I love the food swan. Joseph being down in the well, and I love to have a lot of fun with it. And I ask that question all the time. Pit, he's down in the pit. P-I-T, you know what PIT stands for? Patient and Trained, you know? Some of us are right there, right now, and we got to remember, all things work for good to those who love God. So you might feel like you're in a pit right now, and I would encourage you, don't stop loving God, amen? Don't stop loving him, even though you feel like you're in that pit. Joseph went down the pit. And my Bible says, he sat down to eat a meal, and he lifted their eyes, this is Joseph's brothers, and look, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. So Judah said to his brothers, this is Judah. This is Judah, the one that King David would come from. Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and to steal his blood? That will tell you what they were talking about. Let's kill the little rat. Let's kill the little tattletale. We won't have to worry about him squealing on us ever again. I wouldn't be able to walk up to the edge of the pit and be like, hey, Joseph, stitches, get stitches. So Judah said to his brother, what problem is there to kill our brother? He was trying. How cruel that this is so easy to do. You might say, well, it's easier to be afraid when you're dead. I would rather be dead. I would rather be dead. Judah, however, took the coward's way out. And then that coward's way out, he said, I don't want to hear him crying, I don't want to hear him screaming anymore. He has his own fortune now, he can make his own way. We're going to sell him into slavery, whether he lives or dies on his own head. And I don't have to hear him crying anymore. Let's find out what happened. Come and let us sell him to the Israelites, said Judah, and let not our hands be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by, so the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit. You know what happened to him down there? He was working with Potiphar, and Potiphar ends up listening to his wife while he's falsely accused. And this is what happened to him. This is me in chapter 39, verse 19. So it was, and his master Potiphar heard the words which his wife spoke to him. saying, the servant ditched me after his master, after his anger was aroused. And Joseph's master took him and put him into a prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined. And he was there in the prison. He was in the pit. He was in his brother's anger. Now he's in prison. Does it seem like all things are working for good? I think I would have pulled Joseph back. You're like, take that off. All things work for good to those who love God and call according to His purpose. You know what? Sometimes we need to remember when our brothers and sisters are in the pit as well. And we want to pull them out. And we want to help them out. And we want to get involved. You know what? Sometimes we don't need to get involved. Sometimes we need to just pray. I think I would have pulled Joseph out. I think I'd have pulled him straight out of that pit. I don't think there was a force, a lie that could stop me. I think if Joseph's brothers would have had to beat me to kill me. I'd have pulled him right out of that prison had I been in Egypt. And I had the authority. I was right there. I said, let that Hebrew go. Can you imagine his pain? I could have comforted him. His pain. I think about that sometimes. I think about Joseph's story. About the pain of his brothers. Saying, get back in life. We're 3 years old. If I had done the same, I would have seen a nation out of the one God would be delivered from the pain. I would have done that because I forgot Romans 8:28. God works for good in all things to those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And sometimes we mistakenly think that because somebody's having a hard time that they are not in God's will, that they are sinful, and that they're going through it because of something they did wrong. Sometimes God is chasing you. You want to know how you get a diamond? You take a lump of coal and you squeeze it. You ever watch Superman? I did when I was a kid. When Superman finally confessed that he loved Lois Lane, he ended up inside a coal miner's jar at the end of the movie. He said, can I have the coal? Oh, it's short, Superman. And he took a super thing, squeezed it into it. We're talking about big old shiny diamond. Perfect new cut, you know. You know what I'm talking about? You saw that movie with me. Pressure on man had come to their house. And pressure made Joseph into a prime minister that fed Egypt and fed Israel and fed Canaan and fed all the land around him. And if I had pulled him out of that prison, if I had pulled him out of that pit, if I had helped him in his pain, then I would have killed him. For the deliverance. Look at another. I'm going to run out of time quickly. 1 Samuel 19:9. Now the distressing spirit from the Lord came upon Shaul. That's how you say it in Shaul. Say it with me. Shaul. Don't you love that? Shaul was sat in the house with his spear in his hand. And David, was playing music with his hand. Then Saul sought to pin David to the wall with a spear and slipped away from Saul's presence. And he drave the spear into the wall, so David fled and escaped. Not only did he run out of Saul's presence, Saul's trying to get into the wall with the spear. Look at the end of 1 Samuel 24. Let's read verses 1 and 2. Now it happened when Saul had returned to following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, take note, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel and went down to see David and his men on the rocks of the wild goats, and that was in En-Gedi. So he came to the sheepfold by the road where there was a cave. Saul went up there, came to his knees. I let you interpret that yourself. And David and his men were staying in the reception of that particular place. I would have pulled David out had I been in that pit, in that palace, inside of that house where Saul was sitting there with a spear in his hand. And David was playing on the harp of the lyre. Imagine the music he was playing. Saul started looking at him with those eyes. You think you're better than me? You think you're holier than I am? You killed Goliath? Well, I kept Israel safe. God said, you're going to take my place. Well, I've got a problem with you. And he takes that spear that's in his hand, and maybe he is to you right after all the fear throwing presence. I pulled him out of the cage and he was just a few minutes. Jim living in a cage like a fugitive, like a vagabond. I pulled him out of the cage just and I would see on the video out of a dark part of the God works good. All things work for good. Those who love God. Here's another one. Look at me in Esther chapter 4. Verses 15 and 17. In Esther. We have Esther with us tonight. She's just really very proud of us. Amen. Then Esther told them, reply to Mordecai. You ever get to visit my house? He had a Pharisee named Mordecai. We thought it was a boy, but it is a girl, and she lays eggs about once a week. How do we find out it was a girl? Well, she lays an egg. See, I say that a nose turned to code name. This nose didn't change itself. So, in fact, it went from blue to pink to blue to pink. We're like, transgender parents. Yeah. But he laid an egg, and therefore it's set now. It's now Mordecai X. Go gather all the Jews. This is Esther speaking to Mordecai. Go gather all the Jews who are present in Shushan and fast for me. Neither eat nor drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will fast likewise. So I will go to the king, which is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Those are not metals in that way. This is according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. If she went into that throne room unbidden, then the king would kill her. Well, Mordecai went his way and did according to all that Esther commanded him. I wouldn't have pulled Esther out. I sure would have. I would have pulled her out. Often and raised by her cousin, right out of the attack from her own family. Out of being placed in a position that she never asked for. Incidentally, getting ready, coaching the message. He didn't go up to Mordecai and say, I want to join the beauty contest. He didn't. I would have pulled him out of the entrance of the vicious kingdom. I would have pulled him out of the path of a vicious, power hungry foe named Haman. Don't go to him, you know. And I would have cheated the Jewish people out of the woman God would use to send for their lives. Ready for one more? You know what that is? All things work for good to those who love God. Called according to Jesus. Jesus has ministry of 3 and 1 degrees. Your pastor has been teaching for 30. He never wrote a book. He never had a fellow evangelist ministry. He never had prayer list. Never went further than a 200-mile race. You see what that means? Look at Luke 22. Verses 32 and 34. The Bible says, and when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Provided with promise to cast down. If I had been there, you know what I would have done? I would have done it to give up the helmet that pulled the Son of God off the cross. The Prince of Peace, the King of Glory, the King of Righteousness. I would have done everything. I would have taken him right off if I could. The road that led the people into the kingdom. Off of the path that would mean making, being, naming, forming. That's what I would have done. Here's Excuse me? I have never once in my lifetime had great joy when trials came upon me. You know why? Because I was immature. Because I was fierce and not ready. Because I was not well. I was always thinking, poor, pitiful me. No one else is going through what I've ever went through. No one understands. Sounds like a teenager. You don't have teenagers yet, but let me tell you, if you do get them, you're going to know what I'm talking about. And let me tell you something about teenage sign language, too. That's not fair. You don't understand. I'm the only one who knows. We say that to God all the time. Here's James. My brethren, count all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, and you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Let it work in your life. Are you going through something right now? Remember Romans 8:28. Remember James 1:2-4. Let it work. Do you love God? Are you called according to his purpose? Then you should expect the trials and tribulations. You should expect some pressure. Right now, you want God to pull you out of it. You want God to change your path. So I've been the one that asked God to change my path. You want God to stop your pain. I know I do. Right now, know that the stop is wrong. I'm cheating you, cheating the world, so much pain. But God knows. And God knows what you're going to do. And God knows who you're going to become. He knows the good that he will produce. Are you hearing me this evening, brother Sandy Baptist Church? He knows the beauty of hardship. Well, brother, it's me, Romans chapter 5. Not only that, it's the Apostle Paul. Anybody knew anything about hardship? It was about Paul. Not only that, we offer glory in tribulation. We get angry when the air conditioner is not cool enough. We get upset when the food's not hot enough. We get upset when the tea's not sweet. Not only that, but we also glory in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. You know, my old King James says it's so much better. And know it's not only, but we also glory up in tribulation. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. I love the E-H-T-H line. And perseverance, character. Why are you enduring? Because you love God. You know that you love God. You know that you're called according to a purpose. You should expect pressure. You should expect trial and tribulation and temptation. And you should expect a little bit of pushback from a world who is rebellious against God. Can I quote to you, Jesus Christ? Jesus said this: if the world hates me, it brings comfort to me and refine. I hope does not disappoint, because the love of God, and we're talking about the love of God, the love of God, has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, who is given to us. So instead of trying to get God to pull you out, ask for God to give you strength, to give you hope. I'm asking him to move you. God can use your life in powerful and beautiful ways. Ways that will leave you grateful and respectful to the road you've been on. You want to figure out how Job finished? You want to find out how Job finished? Here's one of Job's last statements. Look at Job 15:18-20. This is after Jacob, Israel, and God. Brothers, rather sudden scare. Oh my goodness. After all these years, now that Jacob, our father, is dead, Joseph is going to command the army of Egypt to wipe us out. And they come up to Joseph and say, right before Dad died, he pulled up to tell you to leave our home. Look at things like this. Brothers offered wind and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we are your saints. Joseph said to them, do not be afraid. Am I in the place of God? Joseph evil against me, but God meant it for good, according to bring it about as it was this day, saved many people. You don't know why you're suffering. You don't know why you need to endure. I want to encourage you to endure. I want to encourage you to keep on keeping. I want to encourage you, don't give up. Have you heard the old saying before? John Wayne used to say it all the time. He would say, hey, when the road gets tough, the tough gets.
Bless you all. Have a great evening. Don't want to miss Sunday. We're looking at the burning book.